Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up on today's program, we'll kick off our series on the growing heroin problem here on the coast. We'll speak with health officials who are helping addicts kick their addictions. And we'll try to find out why so many people are turning to this dangerous opiate. And later, we'll walk the line between development and the environment as we take you inside a local debate about growing the region without adversely impacting our natural resources. But first, we'll dive into the local headlines with Steve Green. He's the editor and publisher of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Green and I talked this week about local and state politics and a small town controversy that seems to be intensifying by the week. But we started by talking sports, specifically football. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens stamped their ticket to New Orleans last Sunday by defeating the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. But does the Ravens' run to the Super Bowl mean more than just fan pride to the local region? What does it do to the local business's bottom line?
You know, I think this whole Ravens run has, in fact, helped business. You know, I know in our case, people are advertising, tailgate specials that they wouldn't have been advertising otherwise. I think those few businesses that are open down here are seeing the rewards, especially like, say, on last night, Sunday night, 6:30, would they have had anybody in their bar or restaurant? More than likely not. So I think, those who have stayed open are doing well because of it.
By many accounts, this summer was a pretty good summer for most businesses here in Ocean City and throughout the region. But in speaking with many owners and people who work in those businesses, it seems that this winter has been unseasonably cold from a business perspective. What are you seeing, I guess, comparatively speaking? Are more places closed down? Are the places that are open, having a harder time just staying in the black?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the winter season down here is not for the meek. It's difficult. We're open year-round, 52 weeks a year. We had thought about at one point skipping an issue or two, but then it comes complicated because you talk about unemployment and your help as well. So a lot of the larger places that are open year-round are doing it for the sole reason of their people. They would rather, have a little bit of money trickling in while still paying the bills rather than just laying everyone off for the winter and letting them go on unemployment. A lot of us right now are just thinking about the summer months and how to plan and, trying to come up with new ideas because you do have time to think about things like that rather than in season. There's really no time to think outside the box.
With all the attention on this Ravens run to the Super Bowl, not a lot of people are talking about politics in Ocean City, certainly. That's much different than all the conversation about politics and all the debate about local politics leading up to the November election. What's been going on since this new majority kind of has taken over? They've been accused of being the big spending majority. We haven't heard much from just other than a few, little debates. I know one came up last week about public comments at meetings. What's been happening down at City Hall? And are residents missing something because they're paying attention to what's going on in football?
I don't think they're really missing much. I mean, I will say it is pretty quiet right now. And that's not really necessarily a surprise. It's 2.5 months out of the election. There have been some flare-ups, obvious signs of personal differences. There was a, an acknowledgement that a new majority was in place, that the two former majority members, Brent Ashley and Margaret Pillis, obviously can read the tea leaves and see that they're not going to be running the show, perhaps the way they did before. But, really right now, I think the city is focused on the strategic planning initiative, which I think is a very worthwhile effort. They're nearing the end here of that. I've always felt like that was going to professionalize the government in a way that maybe it hasn't been in a long time. The city council, it's small town politics. They each know each other's history. They each know each other's views on things. And oftentimes those things are exploited, for some sort of political gain. I don't think we're seeing that right now, but that doesn't mean it's not going to come up as things get more contentious.
Moving from one part of the region that's been, I guess, a little quiet, politically speaking, just a few miles down the road to Berlin, where, there has been quite a controversy going on between the town, most notably Mayor G. Williams, and the Berlin Fire Company. $600,000 of town funding was pulled by the mayor and city council after allegations came forward concerning discriminatory comments and concerning homophobia and comments of a racist nature. Now it's taken a little bit more of a turn. Explain what happened the day after Christmas and this new part of this controversy.
Sure. Well, on the day after Christmas, it was a really, really rainy, nasty day. Where Berlin meets Route 50, it's the corner of Route 818 and 50, there was a fatal accident. While the victim in the accident was being tended to by the paramedics that had responded to the scene, somewhere along the way, there was a void in who was going to drive the ambulance. Now, this is where things start to get he said, he said. There are some allegations that members of the fire company were on hand and did not respond to those requests to drive the paramedic to the ambulance to the hospital.
And the belief is that it's based on all of this controversy surrounding what was happening internally in the fire department. Comments made amongst people who work there, comments of a racial and homophobic nature.
Right. The paramedic that's at the heart of the that was at the heart of that fractured relationship back in the summer was the paramedic that was on the scene that day, and he was allegedly the one that was requesting help. And there's the allegation goes that as a result of that and the result of everything that has blown up, that there was some sort of retribution. Mm-hmm. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the fire company, taking off a reporter hat here. I just don't believe that that would happen. They know that they're under the microscope. They know that all of their actions understand that public safety is what we're all worried about here, mm-hmm. as citizens of Berlin and property owners in Berlin, and it needs to be the most important thing. But we're going to find out. There's a state investigation has been requested by the fire company and the Berlin Mayor and Council into the matter to see if there was any malfeasance or any sort of mishandling. It just serves as more fodder for this debate. The situation has been going on for too long. It needs to end.
Do you think that because now that there is a state investigation that all of the rhetoric from both sides of this debate is going to be essentially silenced until this investigation, comes to fruition and comes to completion? Or do you think there's going to be bickering back and forth between both sides?
Well, I would hope that this investigation doesn't hold up the need for the fire company and the town to strike a contract, mm-hmm. a new contract that would govern how the fire company, what kind of funds it receives from the town. I mean, I feel like the investigation is going to take some time, state government bodies, move at a slower pace than private practice in general. So I suspect it could be months before we get the results. I mean, mm-hmm. I hope not, but I would hope it's not months before the town and the fire company begin deliberations. Now, the good news is the first salvo, I guess, in mending this relationship was fired a couple of weeks ago when the Berlin Mayor and Council requested through their attorney financial documents from the fire company through its attorney. So right now, the attorneys are supposedly working together to try to figure out the financial status of the fire company. Right. And then at some point, we would expect that there would be mediation done. I don't believe that the attorneys and the mayor and council and the fire company are going to be able to sit down at a table and hash out a deal on their own. I think right now it's way beyond that. It's personal nature, dating back to, these allegations during the October election that a candidate was put forward to run against Mayor G. Williams, and it was a fire company-supported candidate. Now, they officially deny that that ever happened, but it happened, whether it was sanctioned by the fire company or just individual members. Mm-hmm. And I think the latter is probably the case. I think there were individual members that said we need to put a scare into the mayor. I don't think they ever thought he would write-in candidate would win because, write-in campaigns are extremely unsuccessful. But so our hope is that once the financial data is received, that they'll be able to have a mediation where they can hash out something. And I don't think the town will ever return to the days where they funded it $600,000, as you mentioned. That is high, especially a town the size of Berlin. So I would see, somewhere along half of that maybe or a third of that. There's a lot of manpower issues, I think, that involving health and benefits and all that need to be worked out. So that's where the mediator, I think, will have a valid role in the process.
Mm-hmm. In recent weeks, I've spoken with many of the local legislators that have, made the trek across the Bay Bridge back up to Annapolis. Senator Jim Mathias here on the Lower Shore, as well as Republican Delegate Mike McDermott, both vehemently against any sort of added gun control measures that Governor Martin O'Malley is moving forward with. They are also both in favor of keeping the death penalty laws on the book. How do you think that debate's going to go? I mean, history tells us that regardless of the stances of what Eastern Shore politicians take, You know, it doesn't always happen that way. What do you see happening in this General Assembly in Annapolis concerning both gun control and the death penalty?
Okay, well, I think let's go with the death penalty. I think that's the easier matter. I think the death penalty will be repealed. But as Mike McDermott said last week, it's kind of interesting because it's really not a practice that the state even has right mm-hmm. now. But it is on the books. And, you know, I personally think there's value to the death penalty as a way of, you know, in the court system process. But, you know, Maryland is not using the death penalty right now. So it's no secret that we have a governor who has higher aspirations than running. You know, it's also no secret that, you know, liberal thinkers tend to not support the death penalty. So it could put him on a larger platform for his Democratic campaign for whatever it may be. I mean, I think he's going to run for president, whether it's going to be 3 years from now or not. But so I think the death penalty will be repealed. But then let's go, I guess, to the more the gun control measure, because I think that's, you know, extremely important. And, you know, wrapped into that gun control is, of course, the school safety. For me, what leaps out to me is this whole assault weapon ban. I don't see the need for people to have assault weapons. I really don't. And if they do want assault weapons, they should have to go to a larger degree of background checks or whatever, that maybe the person that just wants to have a shotgun to go hunting or something like mm-hmm. that. I would expect we see strict action on that.
Do you think that offshore wind will pass this year? And if it does, what do you think that will mean for the community?
I do think it will pass. You know, the state pretty much just a couple weeks ago showed how much they want this to pass by basically doing a lot of this early site work and funding it at, you know, millions of dollars. So they have a lot invested in it now. And I think this is another example of the governor pushing through some pet legislation that will allow him to probably vault himself on a higher stage. I think that when a wind farm off the coast of Ocean City isn't necessary. And I think I embraced it when it was first, proposed. And I think that obviously there's details to work out. But it's the future.
Steve Green is the publisher and the editor of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Steve, always nice to talk to you, and thanks for joining me here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.